Well, Merry Christmas. It is so good to be together tonight. I'm so glad that you're here. It's great to be together and come together and to sing and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ together in song and in the presence of being with one another. Tonight we're gathered together to remember Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, "We remember Jesus Christ, descended from David, risen from the dead. This is our gospel." Jesus is our gospel. Jesus is the good news. We've come tonight to remember Jesus, to remember him in song, to remember him in the Advent reading, to remember him in the reading of Scripture. But as we've gathered together tonight, we've come not just to remember Jesus, we've also come to worship him. To worship him. Jesus means more to us than anything. Jesus means more to us and is more valuable to us than anything. He's more valuable to us than the family time that will happen later tonight or tomorrow morning. Jesus is more valuable to us than the presents under the tree. He's more valuable to us than holidays and vacations and houses and land. Jesus is more valuable to us than our reputations, our fortunes, our health, our wealth. He's more valuable to us than our very lives. We would gladly suffer the loss of all things for the sake of Jesus Christ and having him. And so we've gathered together tonight to remember Jesus, but more than remember him, we've gathered together to worship him, for Jesus means more to us than the world. I want to share with you tonight just a few passages of Scripture that are renowned and very familiar to us, the Christmas story. And I just have you listen along as I read these passages. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 1, where the Scripture says, "The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. He, Gabriel, came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel Gabriel answered her and said, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Thanks for saying that. That's exactly how I thought it would happen.'" That's not what Mary said. There's no way she could begin to comprehend all that the angel had just announced to her. But Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. We turn from Luke chapter 1 to Matthew chapter 1, where we pick up on the rest of the story. Because there's a fiancé in the story, the one who's to be the husband of Mary, and it's Joseph, and he has to be convinced not to separate from his betrothed wife now that she's with child, a child that he knows is not his own. And in Matthew chapter 1, the story continues, the history continues, and it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to open shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet Isaiah. 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Well, as I promised on Sunday morning, I was going to have my meditation be short for you tonight, which I hope to do, but I have just four words that I'm going to share with you this evening as we consider this Christmas history, this Christmas story, God sending Jesus Christ to us. The four words that I gave you Sunday morning that I'm going to share with you tonight would be this: simple, profound, cosmic, and personal. Simple, profound, cosmic, and personal. That first word is simple. The Christmas message is so simple that even a child can understand it. The message is so simple that it can even be put in a summary statement that is so familiar to us, where in John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, His only begotten Son, His only eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." God loved us, and He gave to us Jesus to save us from our sin, to forgive us of our trespasses, to reconcile us unto Himself, and to adopt us as His very own children. That's not all that complex. It's not all that difficult to understand. A child can be convicted of their sinfulness and of their separation from God because of their sinfulness, and a child can be not only convicted of their sin, but convinced that Jesus is their only hope. And in childlike faith, a child can turn and place their faith in Jesus Christ and be gloriously saved. The Christmas message tells us that every barrier, every relational barrier that was between us and God, Jesus has removed it. And through faith in Jesus Christ, we're restored into a right relationship with Him. It's that simple. Jesus has come to provide us salvation. The second word is the word profound. While the Christmas message is so simple that even a child can understand it, the Christmas message is so profound that it will leave the greatest theologians in wonder and in worship forever. For if you are listening to the Christmas story, and if you believe the Christmas story, then you believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father, through the Holy Spirit, sends the Son into the world to save the world unto God, who has existed forever in a relationship of unity and love. If you believe the Christmas story, then you believe in the Trinity. If you believe the Christmas story, you believe in the Incarnation. The eternal God became flesh and dwelt among us. You believe in the Incarnation. You believe in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, being fully God, fully man, in one body at one time, and now for all time. If you believe the Christmas story, you believe in the Trinity, you believe in the Incarnation, you believe in angels. And not theoretically, but actually. Angels created by God, created before men, not made in God's image, but yet messengers of God who minister to those who would inherit salvation. If you believe in the Christmas story, you believe in the Trinity, the Incarnation, angels, you believe in miracles. A virgin became a mother. God became a man. If you believe in the Christmas story, you believe in human guilt and glorious, unmerited salvation. You believe in the atonement and prophecy and history and predestination. God's preordained plans to provide salvation carried out on earth and definite human redemption. You believe in the eternal kingdom of God and the resurrection, for you believe that Jesus will reign as king forever as announced in His birth. Every complex and mysterious doctrine comes into play in the Christmas story. From angels to humanity to divinity, from time and space and eternity, transcendence to immanence, it's all there. The Christmas story is filled with wonder. It's a story you can teach to children, and it's a story with enough complexity to it that eternity is not enough to plumb its depths. A matter of fact, in the book of Ephesians, it says that God will awe us for all eternity with the riches of His glory and grace. We're never going to get to the end of this story. How remarkable. So the Christmas story is simple, so simple the child can understand it. It's profound, so profound theologians can work with it in their entire life and not just barely begin to scratch the surface. The Christmas story is also cosmic. Cosmic. The salvation that Jesus provided in His coming, in His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, the salvation that Jesus provided in His coming extends to all of creation in heaven and on earth. We quoted just a moment ago that summary sentence, "For God so loved the world." His love includes all of humanity, but bigger than all humanity, the story of redemption is cosmic in that it extends out to all of creation. Angels, on the night Jesus was born, break into time and space, and they sing to shepherds, "Glory to God in the highest." The Apostle Peter writes, and he tells us that angels long to look into this reality of God gloriously and graciously saving mankind through the coming of Jesus and the suffering of Jesus and the subsequent glories of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 3 tells us that the angels are peering over the banister of heaven to learn the unsearchable riches of Christ and the manifold wisdom of God expressed to us in his grace and kindness to us. And then in Romans chapter 8, it tells us that all of creation is eagerly waiting for its freedom from its bondage to corruption and to the glory of the revelation of the children of God at the consummation of history. This salvation that Jesus brought about in his coming, it includes everything that God has made in heavens and on earth, from 7 miles deep in the ocean to the farthest star in the farthest galaxy. There is no space where the Lord Jesus Christ will not reign. And Jesus, in the salvation that he has provided us, he is liberating all of creation to its bondage to corruption and death and decay that was brought about by humanity's sin, having paid for that sin in his own body, in his coming and on the cross. Finally, the Christmas message, it's simple, so simple the child can understand it. It's profound. It leaves the greatest theologians just scratching the surface. It's cosmic. It involves all of creation. And then finally, it's personal. Because you are here. Because you are here in history. Because all of this happened, Christ coming in history. Because Jesus came in time and space on this planet, and because you have been made in God's image and dwell here, the story includes you. And it includes me. The story is simple, profound, cosmic, and personal. The angels are in awe and in wonder at what God has done. And they peer over the banister of heaven to see the riches of God's grace play out in our lives. The angels are in awe and wonder at what God has done. What's your take on the story? Where do you land on all that God has done for you in sending you Jesus? Have you looked into these things? Have you pressed into these things? Have you had an understanding of all that God has done to rescue you from your sin? And to rescue unto himself and to redeem all of creation. It is a glorious redemption. It is a glorious salvation. And it extends to you. And it extends to me. Jesus was a gift given by God, a gift given to be received. We understand gifts and we understand receiving gifts. Jesus is a gift given by God for you and I to receive. And the scripture tells us that all who receive him, God gives them the right to become his dearly loved children. Jesus was a gift given to be received. Jesus was put forward and he willingly came to be the object of our faith and the object of our worship. You and I, are declared right through trusting in Jesus Christ. He is the object of our faith. He is the one who saves us unto God. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we are brought into a right relationship with God by his grace and through faith in him. So Jesus was a gift given to be received. Jesus was put forward to be the object of our faith. Jesus is the one whom God provided for our salvation. He was given for me. He was given for you. The Christmas story is for me. The Christmas story is for you. The Christmas story is for the world to hear and to understand and to believe and to receive. Christmas, the story, the history, the doctrine, the mystery, the glory, the reality, the meaning of Christmas is for you and me. It's personal. To receive Jesus is to come into the history and to come into the wonder of all that God has done for us through Jesus Christ. To trust in Jesus is the beginning of life, not the end of it. It's the start. And to receive Jesus is to come into life and to be joined with God on a great and eternal adventure. Remarkable. Remarkable. So we've come tonight to remember Jesus. To remember Jesus. To remember all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ. We've come to remember Him. We've come to worship Him. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming and gathering together to remember Jesus and to worship Him together. Let me have a word of prayer, and then the musicians are going to come back and they're going to lead us in just one final song. But let's close our message in prayer. Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of You. We're thankful that the Christmas message is so simple that we can understand that You loved us. And though we were sinners and separated from You, You provided for our forgiveness. You provided for our salvation through the sending of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We're thankful for His willingness and His humility to come to this earth, to be born of a virgin, to live a righteous, sinless, perfect life, and to die on the cross for the payment for our sin, to be a sacrifice. He humbled Himself even to death, death on the cross. And through that death, He provided for the payment for our sin. He bore our wrath, what we deserve, He took. We're grateful that You were satisfied with Him and with His payment and raised Him from the dead. And we are ever grateful that You receive all who come to You through the Lord Jesus Christ. What a gift that He is. What a gift that He is. You've loved us first, and You've given us Your love in Jesus. We thank You for Him, and we love You in return. We stand in awe of what You've done, and we look forward to all eternity where You will reveal to us Your manifold wisdom and grace and mercy in saving us through Christ. So we've gathered together tonight to remember Him and to worship Him. We thank You for the Lord Jesus. Bless now the continuation of our service as we continue to sing unto You this evening. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing this last song, I'm going to take the candle and light it and come down here to the front rows and begin to light the candles. I would ask you, when your candle is lit, just to begin lighting the candle around you to those that are closest to you until we have all the candles lit tonight.